With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you ready for some football? Buffalo Bills style.
Looking for Foster, makes the catch at the Jacksonville 40. Scooting down the right sideline. He's going. He is in. Caught by the tight end, Troy Lobo. Knocked down right away by Jordan Poyer. What a tackle. Ball is out again, and the Bills recover again. Milano on top of it. He may keep it himself. Allen at the 5. Into the end zone. He goes. Touchdown. Touchdown. Josh Allen does it yet again.
Bring it. This is the post-game show. Buffalo Bills football on the Buffalo Bills radio network is brought to you by
Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
Hey everybody, welcome into the post-game show. Nate Geary, Joe DiBiase here with you for the next hour or so. Leaving it up. You see how I left it up to a little bit of... Roughly an hour here on the Buffalo Bills radio network. The Bills, they move to 3-0. Not the regular season, preseason, but it still counts. They put a record on the ESPN app. They keep the record.
Yeah, they keep track.
I was told by Prescott Rossi on the television just before we got over this that the Bills have only gone undefeated one time in the preseason, and it was 1966.
And their record was what in 1966? You got that off the top of your head?
It was probably 6-0. I think they played 6 preseason games back in the 60s.
Yes, they did. So that means there would have only been 14 games, and they went 9-4-1. So maybe the Bills will go 9-4-1 this season.
I could go for a tie. It's been, honestly, when was the last time the Bills have had a tie?
Let's see, they had a lot in their early history. 72. They had a tie in 60, 62, 63, 65, 66, 68.
Okay, so every year in the 72. 60s. And 72 is the last time they've tied?
There must have been some different rules back
then. Wow.
Yeah, 72.
Wow. Yeah, so the Bills win 24-20 against the Detroit Lions. Another really good game, especially if you're looking at the box score for Matt Barkley. He finishes 12-14, 142 yards and a touchdown. Duke Williams, another good performance from him in back-to-back preseason games, in games that were really crunch-time games for him. Much like I think Isaiah McKenzie has had a nice 2 preseason games in a row from weeks 2 and 3, and kind of on the opposite end of that, scale, you have Ray McLeod, who has not really had, he's just not really been able to take advantage of the opportunity he's been given for that wide receiver 6 spot. I'm starting to wonder maybe they might keep 7 receivers. I thought that it'd been pretty firmly 6 receivers for the better part of a month or so, or since the start of training camp. And Duke Williams' emergence here at the end of the season, or at the end of the preseason, I should say. It's definitely notable that Brian Daboll, this week, during one of his press conferences during the beginning portions of the week, singled out Duke Williams because he is the one receiver that is sort of different amongst the group of guys that they've got, which I think is something notable to take away from your offensive coordinator, who's likely going to be fighting for guys at the wide receiver position at the bottom of the roster for versatility purposes. I don't see how you could keep Isaiah McKenzie off the roster, and I'm getting to a point where I'm wondering the same thing about Duke Williams. So are they willing to keep 7 receivers? Is it worth it? Can any of them play special teams? I think you know that Andre Roberts is going to play special teams for. He's going to return kicks. He's going to be your punt returner, your kick returner. What's Isaiah McKenzie going to do outside of being the backup kick returner? Is he going to be able to provide some sort of special teams value? Is Duke Williams going to be able to cover kickoffs? Can he play in the punt team? These are going to be questions I think need to be answered the next couple weeks. I didn't see a lot from Dawson Knox. I know he was going to be sort of on a pitch count this evening, so he wasn't going to get a full look because of the hamstring injury he sustained early in training camp and has hardly had any practice time. So that makes sense to put him on a pitch count, but I was expecting, you know, something really... the story, and I have the feeling I'll elaborate this much more here locally tomorrow morning on WGR for Sports Radio 550 for Sports Talk Saturday, but one of the things that I really noticed is a very, very swift move away from the scheme and tempo that you saw in the first 2 weeks of the preseason to a much slower, run-oriented, ground-and-pound attack. And I think it stifled their offense a bit and stifled their success. So it'll be interesting to see how that works its way through into the regular season, what kind of offense this team looks like. I think they look better. I think they have more success when they spread it out, 5 and 4 wide receiver sets. You know, let Josh Allen read the field. I just think they look like a better team. They look like a better offense when they're in those scenarios. We're going to hear from Sean McDermott here shortly from the Coach's Podium, which is brought to you by Northtown Automotive, celebrating 50 years of serving Western New York. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. You also get some the LaTempio complete stats of the game. We'll nominate a player of the game as well and get you the play of the game as well, all here on the post-game show over the next hour or so. And like I said, you'll be hearing from Coach Sean McDermott here in just a few moments. But in the meantime, 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. Injuries, kind of the story this evening as well, on top of some of the advancements we've seen from the lower end of the wide receiver list. And by lower, I really mean kind of the middle, because the low guys, we just, you know, the guy that really came into this training camp, David Sills, as sort of the darling of camp, has really made absolutely no impact whatsoever. I think a lot of people thought Duke Williams might have some sort of impact, just considering he, again, as Brian Daboll put it. Let's go to the podium, because Sean McDermott is with the media.
Okay, we'll go ahead and get started. Open up to your questions.
Quentin Spain's injury, what can you tell us about
this? Yeah, I don't know. I just came right up here, Vic, after breaking down the team there. So I'll know a little bit more in the next couple hours a little bit. So.
Does that apply pretty much to any other?
Yeah, all of them. Yeah. I wish I could tell you more. I just haven't talked to Nate yet. So.
Kind of the run that you had there in that first half, how quickly goes down, Levi getting shaken up, Frank, Tre'Davious. Is that your worst fear as a coach when you're in a preseason game and you're seeing expected contributors one by one kind of falling?
Yeah, I know they had a guy go down or two also. So yeah, I mean, we tried to be very calculated about it, at the same time get accomplished what we wanted to get accomplished. Excuse me. And but yeah, I'm, you know, holding my breath there. So we just got to continue to move forward. A lot of work to do overall. You know, the turnovers, the penalties, you can't do that. We got to learn from that if we want to move forward here.
Is it in any way seeing that in a third preseason game, the turnovers and penalties, is it more concerning just because it happens, you know, after at this stage of the preseason, and also when you've got your starters for their most extended?
Yeah, and I would say to add to that, Vic, it's concerning regardless of who's out there. For as much as we talk about it, work on it, obviously we've got to make some adjustments in terms of getting in better position, playing with better technique. So, yeah, much improvement needed.
It looked like, clearly the numbers said you were running the football a whole lot. Josh, I think, had like 6 pass attempts. Again, by design, or what was the – was the idea just to give some good work to your running game?
We came in wanted to accomplish different things, and some, you know, some games and some, you know, some other things, and so you know, I just felt like we wanted to run the football a little bit there.
Well, Sean looked like they had some bursts tonight, though. I mean, both of them got out to Kate there and got some big runs for you, set up some touchdowns. You're pretty happy with those two games?
Even in the first that first drive, I believe it was, you know, we had a good run, and then we hurt ourselves with the penalty there. So you know, I thought some of the work outside of the penalties was good work, pad level wise, moving the line of scrimmage, and the backs hitting the hole as well.
How about for Josh? Just again, this was his most extended action 6 series that he had, and although he didn't throw a lot, you know, and then a couple of the ones he had, it looked like there were some misfires. Could have had the interception on that decision, which I'm guessing you weren't too pleased about. The penalty saved it, but what were your overall thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I just felt like, you know, I thought he was on target a couple of times. I thought he was impressive in the 2-minute drive, or just over 2 minutes there to go in the first half. But yeah, you can't, you know, we've got to make smarter decisions with the football. So that's, you know, you got to, whoever carries the ball or throws the ball, That ball makes a big difference in the game.
Receiver battle. I mean, Duke makes another play. McKenzie makes a play for you, and even Ray Ray late. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's we're getting down to nitty gritty here, but these guys are still making it hard on you guys to make a decision.
Yeah, good competition. That's, you know, I think I know this about our guys, that they love to compete. And, you know, to your point, one guy made a play, another guy feels like he has to make a play. And you see Quan make the play in the fourth quarter, you know. And so some young guys stepping in and stepping up and making the most of the opportunity, which that becomes a mindset, right, with our football team. So that was good to see.
Sean, along those lines, what was the thought process for putting Zay Jones in there as deep into the game as you did?
Yeah, just didn't feel like we had gotten him a lot of work in the previous games or balls thrown to him, so wanted to give him a little bit prolonged playing time there, and thought he did a good job, made the play. I know he wasn't mentioned earlier, but the play down the sideline there and on the go ball, and made a big, strong catch, which is good to see.
Conversely, Duke Williams working in with the ones early on, is that a product of what he did previous week?
Yeah, he's earned that, right? He's earned that, and we wanted to see him some more. Some with Josh, some with Matt again, like we did last week, and obviously made a big play. But we've got to look at the rest of the tape to see what was going on around that in terms of the plays that happened, runs and passes both.
Your defense dealt with a couple of short fields in the first half. What did you think about their performance overall?
Yeah, not good enough. You know, it wasn't ideal field position, but and I thought we, you know, held them to some field goals and you know, got off the field on that fourth down there in the red zone. But overall, we've got work to do.
Tyree struggled the first couple games. What was your size of his performance tonight, in addition to how he's looked in practice the last couple of games?
Yeah, he's improving. You know, he's a bright-eyed young man that wants to learn and grow, and he works his tail off. I thought he moved the ball a little bit at times tonight. It was good to see us get that first down and close the game out in 4 minutes. That's hard. That's hard duty, right? Tough duty to do that and to be a young quarterback and manage the clock. And I thought he did a nice job there.
Sean, is it fair to say that you place maybe as much or more value on preseason play for what you need to accomplish, more so than maybe we're seeing elsewhere in the league where there's discussion about coaches, at least one team, they don't want to play their starters at all and avoid the risks? And you know, Green Bay had a concern about a field. They pulled a lot of guys out. With your individual thought on the importance of it.
Yeah, you know, Vic, I could tell you this, being very forthcoming, we did a lot of research going into this game here, and just in terms of who's played what amount of snaps around the league, what we've played, who we wanted to see, and I would say every team's at a different spot, and they're going to do what's right for them, and we felt like we did what was right for us. You know, we've had some continuity on defense. We haven't had that continuity on offense. And so I took some of the defensive players out a little bit earlier than I do with the offensive players. And again, you know, we feel like we wanted to do what was best for us and our team. And I'm sure those coaches are doing what they feel is best for them.
Just a rest day for Jerry today? Is he just resting pretty much?
We just held him out. Yeah, just held him out.
Special teams seem like sloppy, I guess, would maybe be the best word for it. A lot of penalties. How concerning are those issues? And given that, you know, it kind of bled over from last season, too, where you dealt with some of those same things.
Yeah, you know, I'll look at the tape and see. Definitely something we can learn from. It's positioning. And some of those led to field position. You know, we're getting the ball back. I think it was after half there, and we go three and out and about to get, even with a fair catch, pretty decent field position, and we've got a hold, I believe it was at that time as well. So that's and it's also some young players, but they can learn from it just the same. So you know, it's important that we play good complementary football and we don't shoot ourselves in the foot with penalties. So we've got to learn from that. We've got a lot of work to do on that.
John, finally getting Dawson Knox out on the field after all this time. What did you see from him as?
Yeah, you know, he plays that a position where unless they're catching the ball, they're down in the court and really need to study the film to evaluate it the right way. But good to see him come out of the game and be healthy and feel good about it, right? He seemed like he had some juice and some energy. And I thought we blocked it at the point of attack fairly well at times at that position. And I'll be anxious to turn the film on the way home and take a look at it.
His workload was pretty extensive. Were you happy with how much he was able to do?
Yeah, we had him on a rep count, Jay, so I think he was just under that. But putting him out there for another series after half, I didn't feel like that was the right thing to do, you know, as we're talking here. So, okay, thanks, coach. Appreciate it.
That's Bills head coach Sean McDermott at his coach's podium. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive, celebrating 50 years of serving Western New York. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Before we go to break, it's time now for the Latempio complete stats of the game. Latempio PC Law Group, complete attention, complete answers, complete counsel. The stats that stood out to me, penalties. Each team, the Detroit was one penalty short of double digits. The Bills, 12 penalties for 106 yards. The Lions, 9 for 81. And there probably could have been a number of other penalties, both called and accepted in the game. So from that standpoint, a really sloppy game. But some of the individual stats that stood out to me after the game, I mentioned it earlier, Matt Barkley, 12 of 14, 142 yards and a touchdown. TJ Yeldon had a good game today, too, after being pretty quiet the entire preseason, 3 catches for 51 yards, doing it mostly through the air. Matthew Stafford, he finished the afternoon 12 of 19 for 137 yards and a touchdown, mostly against Bills starters on defense. So let's take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll continue here on the postgame show. Joe and I will talk out some of the things we saw from the offense and from the defense here after a Bills 24-20 win to go to 3-0 in the preseason here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Shotgun snap, and they hand it off, and here goes Shady. He's on the run inside the 30, inside the 25. Dragged down from behind. It's going to be a horse collar tackle as he goes out of bounds at the 18-yard line, and they'll tack on some yardage there.
Welcome back to the postgame show here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Time now for the electric play of the game. It's brought to you by Belknap Heating and Cooling. Go green, save energy and money with electric heat pump solutions from Belknap.
The snap. Josh Allen hands it off. Devin Singletary in the game, gets a block inside the 5, angling towards the pylon in the end zone, and he is in. Touchdown, Buffalo. Devin Singletary from 9 yards out. The Bills go 95 yards with that scoring drive.
Maybe not the play of the game, but definitely the drive of the game. The Bills go 8 plays, 95 yards, just under 3 minutes to go up at the end of the first half. So a good end of the half for the Bills offense, who really struggled for the most part of the first half. Welcome back, everybody. Nate Geary here, Joe DiBiase, live from our Amherst studios, breaking down the Bills 24-20 win over the Detroit Lions on the road. The Bills will finish up their preseason next week when they face off against the Minnesota Vikings. No starters likely to play in that one. Some news coming down now as of late from Twitter. Numerous reporters, including our very own Sal Capaccio, reporting that Quentin Spain was seen on crutches and in a walking boot leaving the locker room, which is not a great sign for the Bills. A really good follow if you're a Bills fan who likes to keep up on injuries. Banged Up Bills, at Banged Up Bills on Twitter. He's a contributor for Cover One and Buffalo Rumblings. Gives a lot of opinions on some of the injuries that he sees. One of the things that he just tweeted to a John Scott tweet talking about him being in crutches in a walking boot. Walking boot to control for swelling and the flight back home. Crutches to take the weight off the ankle to reduce pain. Likely a sprained foot ankle was stepped on when he was falling down blocking for Frank Gore. So hope, obviously, that Quentin Spain does not miss any significant time. But I'll tell you, that's not a great thing because he's been the one constant other than Deion Dawkins, who even at times was taken out for some shifting around in the offensive line. Quentin Spain had been the one guy, barring any injuries or anything else, any other roster movement, that has maintained his position the entire preseason and through training camp. It would be a shame if he has to start the season on the injury list. It would be interesting to see what they end up doing at the left guard position as well. I did notice, and I put the tweet up on Twitter. I think that the obvious move here is moving John Feliciano from center down to left guard when Mitch Morse comes back, so that your starting offensive line looks something like. Looks like Deion Dawkins, John Feliciano, Mitch Morse, Cody Ford, and Ty Nsekhe from left to right. I could see that being a thing. I know a lot of people on Twitter are kind of responding back with Wyatt Teller, but if I'm not mistaken, Wyatt Teller was the third left guard that came in today. Ike Butker came in when Quentin Spain went down. So that was interesting to note today for me in terms of the hierarchy at the left guard position. And was Ike Butker's move into that second left guard position simply because John Felicio was unavailable, either due to because of the fact that he was starting the game, of course, at center. But obviously, they don't want to move things around. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out here. A couple other injuries. Frank Gore left the game early. He ended up returning, getting a couple carries before the end of the first half was over. Levi Wallace, he left the game for a time, did not end up coming back. They did report that it was just something along the lines of the wind being blown, the wind being knocked out of him. And then it looked like Tre'Davious White had some sort of contusion, either a thigh or a or upper leg contusion. He had a wrap on the sidelines, but it didn't look serious. He was kind of joking around, able to walk around and kind of shake it off slash dance it off on the sidelines. So good news there on that front. So the only real injury the Bills walk away with is Quentin Spain. The worst of it appears to be that, you know, he may miss time, but it doesn't look to be. Now, I don't have the facts. It could very well be an Achilles or some sort of more serious injury, potentially an ankle break. But as of right now, it would be interesting to see kind of what happens at some point here with the offensive line position, how that ultimately plays out. 803-0551, 888-552-550, the numbers to call. I certainly would say, you know, the one thing that you look from this game is it was a very, very sloppy game from start to finish by the first team, the second team, and third team units, the special teams units. Everybody looked pretty sloppy for the most part today. We actually got, at the end of that game, a number of people have tweeted at me, Joe, that Wyatt Teller actually was getting some work in left tackle. I did not notice it at the end of the game while I was writing up my notes. But it would appear that Wyatt Teller really isn't in a position right now at the interior line spot. I mean, it could. I mean, injuries might change things, but I think right now seeing Ike Butker go in front of him was pretty telling.
They're experimenting with a lot of different stuff. If that's the case where Teller was at left tackle, I mean, we saw Foster getting a little bit of work at Gunner and on the kickoff team. I don't know. Offensive line, I think Butker kind of coming in for the injury is a little bit noteworthy to me. Like, who is that second? Who's that second group of linemen going to end up being? I could see them moving on from Teller. Like, at this point, if they really like a lot of the versatile guys behind, and that's something that those guys have. Ryan Bates, versatile. Like, he might be a guy that sticks around just because he plays all five line positions. Whereas Wyatt Teller, if he can only play left guard and right guard, that might be something that he doesn't have going for him compared to these other guys that are also competing for roster spots. So that could have just been an experimental thing. He hasn't got a lot of reps here. Let's just see if he could do it because these other guys can do it.
803-0551, 888-552-550. John in Alden, you're on the postgame show with Joe and Nate. Welcome, John.
Hey, Nate. Hey, Joe. I actually missed the first half of the game because I was watching the Bisons game, but I listened to the second half on the radio driving home, and I believe I heard three challenges in that stretch. I mean, I don't know if it's true or not, but this whole instant replay, this pass interference replay, is just going to create a big mess. I mean, I know the Saints got screwed last year, but I think this is a clear overreaction by the NFL. I mean, how many challenges did you see in the game?
There was a number of them, Jonathan. I don't remember the exact number off the top of my head, but I definitely felt myself in that first half. Listen, though, I find myself extra sensitive to any stoppages of play in the preseason. I don't think there should be stoppages of play. I think they should have a running clock because I don't care about any of the football that's happening. Neither do the teams, and for the most part, neither do the players. And you look at a team like the Detroit Lions, who are going to leave today worse than they entered the game if Jared Davis, he's got two R's. It's hard for me to pronounce his name.
Jared.
I want to say Jared.
Should be Jared.
Jared.
No, there's no red.
It's E-D. It's J-A-R-R-E-D.
Jared.
Jared.
There's no...
It's Jared. It's A-D, not E-D.
It's E-D.
It's A-D.
I think we could look this up.
I thought
though.
It was O-D.
Let's find out.
I feel like we should know this. It's Oh, Jerod Johnson is a different guy. That was a former Eagles quarterback.
Not
That's
him.
Who I had him confused with. So it's not him. I don't have it.
His name is
must be with an A because there's no one coming up under the E. Just so you know.
Yes, it is.
It is.
A-D.
It is J A R R A D. There was no E's at all in the name.
anywhere.
Either way, starting off, starting linebacker, you weren't right either. You said J-E-R-R-A-D. So you're also wrong, Derek. Just
did I? We were all
you
didn't.
We were all wrong in our own mind. Well, I'm not wrong. I'm never wrong. But that's neither here nor there. But yeah, so, you know, I find myself wanting to talk about Matt Barkley. But it just, I feel like I shouldn't. He's the backup quarterback. Why are we going to
talk about where's he going to go? Like, what are you going to do with him? Like, he's the backup. He's going to be the backup. Like, what
but
can
I feel
do
like his play this preseason has warranted, like, us talking about him a little bit.
For what, though? Like, for how good of a backup he is, I'm in agreement with you. But, like, it's hard to go much higher than that, obviously.
I don't know how I could go higher than the fact that he looks and appears to be a good backup quarterback.
Yeah.
But I guess for me, I guess what I could say about Matt Barkley is he appears to be playing the best football of his career. And that might extend back to college.
I'll say this. I'm maybe as comfortable with him being the backup right now more so than any backup I can really
remember.
Well,
you, at the beginning of this preseason, at the beginning of training camp, we're talking about all these avenues of finding a way for Tyree Jackson to overtake Matt Barkley. And, I mean, simply put, that did not happen.
Not even close.
And
it couldn't have been further from happening.
It couldn't have been further. And listen, I mean, you had to figure that Tyree Jackson was going to have some growing pains. But I think a lot of people just assumed with the big arm, he's got a big frame, he was going to come in and not look like he was out of place. He certainly, and listen, he's a rookie. He's coming from the MAC conference. It is a big, big jump. That is like jumping from high school 8-man football to jumping to Division I football. It is a big, big jump of speed, of just you name it. It is a big jump for a player going from that level, from MAC division to the NFL, and the game is certainly what you'd call quote unquote moving at a pretty quick rate for him, and he certainly has not looked good in the preseason. But I do think that I here's the thing, they're probably going to keep a third arm,
but on the practice squad, I would assume.
Yeah,
and
I don't think you can go without keeping a third arm, to be honest.
Well, what they could do is they could decide, hey, let's bring in somebody else and try to put them on the practice squad. We'll teach them the offense. There'll be time because we don't think they're going to rush them into the offense. So is Tyree doing enough to kind of hold off that possibility? Because if the Bills do like somebody else in around the league that someone else is trying to put on their practice squad, well, maybe they could go ahead and try to snag him. We saw last year they got two backups off the street over the course of the year because they weren't comfortable with their situation. So they've done it before. So I don't know if it's a given that Tyree would be on the practice squad. I would guess that he would, though. Just on, I think he's going to have something going for him just in the matter of he is his strengths and his weaknesses on a much lesser scale are similar to what your starting quarterback is. Big, athletic, a little bit inaccurate, big plays, and can make some dumb decisions at times like we saw even with Allen tonight. So I think because of those similarities, he'll get a spot on the practice squad just based on that. But he's certainly, to me, not doing anything in the preseason to earn it on his own merit.
I find it interesting. I just saw a tweet, and it's definitely worth noting here and talking about. But interesting to note that four of the, I would say, fairly key signings this free agent period, Quentin Spain, Mitch Morse. I mean, definitely Mitch Morse is a key contributor.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Croft, another guy I think they assumed was going to be a key contributor. Those are three guys right there that were expected and were up to this point going to be key contributors that are all injured.
Ty Nsekhe, too.
Ty Nsekhe, another guy, right, that hasn't played in the preseason. Is it what part of you is – are you overreacting, or are we just stating what it is, and should we just wait until week one to see who ends up playing?
I think we might be overreacting just because I don't know at this point if we can tell who other than Croft's injury is serious. If Spain's is, then maybe you start to think about what you have at guard. But it sounds like Morris is a precautionary thing that he's not playing and that he's going to be fine. It sounds like Nsekhe, to some extent, is a very minor deal as well. So if you've got three of the four guys having minor injuries, which we'll see on Spain, then maybe we are overreacting a little bit because, on the other hand, you look at a team like the Jets, who you play in a couple of weeks, they have guys that certainly will not be playing. Two linebackers that won't be playing. Copeland just got suspended, and they had the other injury before that. It's escaping me who it was. Avery Williamson.
Avery Williamson, yep. That's right. Tremaine Williams out with a hamstring injury, and he's continues to remain week to week.
Injuries all over their offensive line, guys that won't be playing week one. Their tight end, starting tight end Chris Herndon, will be
their
suspended.
Their starting center and best offensive lineman was retired 3 weeks ago.
The Bills, you know, there's slight worry around the offense and around every skill position or around every offensive line position. Like, hey, this guy might not be ready for week one, but it's a might. And it sounds like they will be. Whereas the team you play, the Jets, there are several players you know will not be suiting up for them week one. And I would be much more worried about that if I were them.
Say that's probably right. 803-0551, 888-552-550. Going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we may get to hear from a few players as they file in through the locker room. So we may get an opportunity to do that here next. We'll also get you the MVP of the game, and it's brought to you by Steve Foley Law. The MVP of your case. Settle for more with Steve Foley Law. So all that coming up here next in the Buffalo Bills postgame show right here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Are you ready for some football Buffalo Bills style?
Looking for Foster, makes the catch at the Jacksonville 40. Scooting down the right sideline. He's going. He is in. Caught by the tight end, Troy Lobo. Knocked down right away by Jordan Poyer. What a tackle. Ball is out again, and the Bills recover again. Milano on top of it. He may keep it himself. Now at the 5, into the end zone. He goes. Touchdown. Josh Allen does it yet again.
Bring it. This is the postgame show. Buffalo Bills football on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network is brought to you by
Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
Welcome back to the Buffalo Bills postgame show here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Sports Radio 550 WGR Buffalo and WKSE HD2 Niagara Falls Buffalo, 98.5 FM, a radio.com station.
All right, welcome back. Time now for the MVP of the game. It's brought to you by Steve Foley Law, the MVP of your case. Settle for more with Steve Foley Law. Our MVP of this football game, Bills backup quarterback Matt Barkley. I've said his stats a few times tonight, but again, 12 of 14, 142 yards, and a touchdown. Just really great numbers all preseason long. I think if you had to put together a preseason MVP, it's probably Matt Barkley. And I don't know what that really has to say. I don't know if it's not a bad thing. It's not a good thing that your backup quarterback's playing well. It's just a thing. Baker Mayfield did not play well tonight. Did you see those numbers?
No, he was pretty bad.
10 of 26 and an interception. Baker Mayfield. What are your thoughts? It's the Bills postgame show. What are your thoughts about Cleveland? Are you as hyped up as everyone else is?
Yeah, I think they're going to win the division. I would bet on them to win it. I mean, I would still put it under 50% chance that they're going to do it just because, you know, I still like Baltimore to some extent. They'd probably be my third most likely to do it, and I still think Pittsburgh's not going to take much of a drop-off. So, like, even though I think Cleveland's going to ascend, I think Pittsburgh will kind of stay relatively the same. So even though I think they're going to win the division, they're no slam dunk to me, but I think they'll be good.
Which side of the ball, in your opinion, is better?
Offense.
Defense or offense? Do you think it's
the
offense?
Offense. I think they're going to be dynamic. I think they're going to be fun. I think that...
Top five unit?
Yeah. And if not, like, right on the cusp of that.
Okay.
I think Mayfield, with his accuracy and his vision, like, I think even the preseason, whatever. Like, I think he's really good, and I think now he's got a plethora of weapons at every position. He's got two running backs when they're both in the game that I like. He's got a good athletic tight end in Njoku. He's got two really good wide receivers, one amazing receiver in Beckham. And then even this Rashard Higgins guy, like, is a solid number three option, so... There's enough all over that offense.
Jalen Strong has looked really good for them.
Yeah. The former Texan first round pick. Draft pick. Yeah.
Over they under 9.5.
They have 9.5, I would say over. I think they get to 10.
Okay.
They have the type of support system around their quarterback that I'd like to see the Bills get here. And
what you can't even argue a number one wide receiver, a legitimate number two wide receiver, a legitimate tight end. And
two legitimate running backs
that are young.
Right. Okay. Like, there's reason to be optimistic about all of the skilled positions that the Bills have and even their offensive line. There's reason to be optimistic about it. But I keep coming back to the same thought about it, which is, how many guys can you count on to be great players for you? And at this point, I don't really think you can say that about any guy, any person on their offense. McCoy, you hope he bounces back, but you don't know. Gore's 36, you don't know. Singletary's a rookie. All of the tight ends are a crapshoot. Even John Brown, Cole Beasley, again, they're good receivers. I like that they added them. I think they did about as well as they could have done to add receivers. But they're not great players. They're good. And even Robert Foster, a guy who has a ceiling, maybe that guy could be great. You can't count on it. So that's the difference between, to me, where the Bills sit right now, you can be optimistic, and where the Browns, I would expect them to be good because I know Beckham is great. I know that Njoku is a very good tight end. I know Hunt is great when he's healthy. I know Chubb is great. And Jarvis Landry is great at what he does. I don't think I'd call him a great receiver, but he's at least more respectably good, I think, than or he's about on the same level at the very least that the Bills' top guys are.
You know who else says I've been optimistic about the last 2 weeks? Duke Williams.
Me too.
Been really, really optimistic about his play. Obviously, it's not like he's not at 9 catches for 107 yards and 2 touchdowns, but notable that he's been getting time with the ones. They wanted to see him. Sean McDermott mentioned wanting to see him get a run with the ones with Josh Allen. I think he made the most of his time this afternoon. And then there was that touchdown catch, and I think that was really kind of the epitome of why he's here, why he's getting a second chance in the NFL, and why the Bills felt compelled to go get him. And I think, just like Brian Daboll said, like Sean McDermott has said, he provides something to the group that other guys don't have, and I think it's the one thing that really might force the Bills' hand on whether or not they're going to keep 7 receivers.
And they've kind of done that before. Like, they kind of did that in a different way last year. Like, why did Robert Foster, at the end of the day, make the team out of camp last season? Like, why did he? Like, okay, he might have been good in camp, but was he setting the world on fire?
I thought he had a pretty poor camp, and I thought he had a poorer preseason.
And why did he make the team? One, he was a curiosity, and two, he presented something that you didn't otherwise have, which was a speed wide receiver that could be a downfield threat. The Bills didn't have that. And while Duke Williams is a different style of player, in the same way, he's a curiosity, and he presents you something that you don't otherwise have. A big physical, you know, the catch radius guy. So if he can make it close at all, I wonder if on that factor he will get a spot on this team. And I wonder if that is part of the reason why Robert Foster was working as a gunner today. And on kickoff, are they wondering, hey, if this guy isn't going to get a ton of snaps on receiver, is it worth keeping him on the team? I wonder about Zay Jones playing into the second half. Is that guy's spot completely safe? Because otherwise, why is he playing into the second half? And I wonder if Duke Williams and, in turn, Isaiah McKenzie are two guys that are putting pressure on guys like that you might have previously thought were locks to make this team that maybe are not anymore.
803-0551, 888-552-550. Let's hear from Duke Williams. Duke met with the media after the game today, and we'll hear from him here.
It took a little while, but you made a nice big play there.
To kind of stack another performance like that onto last week.
You know, it all started with practice. You know, coach gave me the opportunity to make plays, and I've been doing that in practice, and it carried over to the game. We're a hard-working team. We all work hard, you know. But without the O-line, you know, and Matt Barkley putting the ball in a place where I could catch it, none of that would be possible.
How did you kind of handle knowing you were going to get first-team reps tonight and not make it bigger than it needed to be, just go out there and play your game type of thing?
Oh, it's football. You know, I don't try to put no pressure on my shoulders. I just try to go out there and make plays for my team, earn my teammates' trust, earn my coach's trust, and make the best of my opportunity.
Can you walk us through the play itself? What'd you see while the ball was in the air and how you positioned yourself to make it?
Man-to-man. You know, once I saw it was man-to-man, you know, without David Sills took an inside release, so that helped me out a lot. And, you know, I just brought my player into the traffic, and then, you know, I just seen ball. Once I see the ball, I just know I got to go up and make a play on it.
Now that you've played some games in the NFL, what's been the biggest adjustment, if any, from the CFL game that you kind of had to navigate through 2 weeks that you feel like you're more comfortable at?
Nothing really. I'm just trying to earn respect from the coaches and the players. At the end of the day, you know, I'm just trying to stay humble, stay grounded, and make the most of my opportunities.
I saw Robert Foster come up to you and say, you earned a job. You just got a job. You know, how much does it make you feel good that your fellow receivers, even though in competition, are respecting you like that?
Man, at the end of the day, I'm just trying to earn myself a position on this team. You know, I'm not trying to make anything bigger than what it is. I still got a week left to prove to these coaches that I want to be here. So, you know, I'm just going to come in on Sunday, watch film, and get out there at practice and continue to better myself.
So, 4th preseason game down the line this week. Well, upcoming week. It's the weekend. What are you looking at? Are you looking for, like, Tyree Jackson's going to play three quarters of the game.
Play the whole game.
Why wouldn't he? Why would you play Matt Barkley at this point?
I would play Tyree Jackson the whole game. I'm more interested in see what's going to happen at running back.
Are you interested to know who plays at wide receiver? If let's say this, if Isaiah McKenzie's playing next week, do you think that means that he isn't? Like, I guess my question is, at the wide receiver position particularly, if you're seeing a guy play that maybe you think is on the team, let's say Isaiah McKenzie, Duke Williams, what does that say to you in a fourth preseason game?
I think, to me, it wouldn't say much about those guys because I think they still need to maybe prove something, or they need to do a little more to try to solidify their spot on this team. Whereas, like, I think Beasley and Brown, there's no chance those guys are playing next week. I think they're kind of on another tier right now. The two guys I'd be looking for the most to see what their playing time is like is Zay Jones and Foster. If they play a lot next week, then I'm going to start to really think that they are taking a serious look at not having those guys around. Probably not both of them, but maybe one of them. If they don't play at all, and this could even be Foster, this could be Jones, it could be both. If they don't really play, like maybe it's one drive or maybe they don't play at all, then I'm going to really start to think that McKenzie and Duke Williams are battling for one roster spot as opposed to two. So I'll be looking forward at that point.
What about the punting battle?
Bohorquez.
Not a good game for him.
No, not great.
He had one good punt, and I think it netted only 48 yards, and it was a good hang time punt. But I thought his first two punts were bad. They were not good. And in a game that you were getting the opportunity to take the job because Corey Carter was injured, I thought Corey Bohorquez really, really let an opportunity slip through his fingertips.
Yeah, I think Carter, if he comes out and he has a semi-decent game and they don't sign anybody,
I don't know why they do that. Why wouldn't you go and get Ryan Allen immediately?
Yeah.
Ryan Allen, of course, was cut from the New England Patriots
someone
this
else
week.
Grabs him.
Had an unbelievable run in the playoffs last year. Just a great run. A couple of games where...
Almost the Super Bowl MVP?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, seriously. that's not really... It's not making a light of it either.
Let me get your take on one theory I have, what happened to running back tonight. Why didn't Devin Singletary play?
I saw your tweet. I don't agree.
You don't agree at all? Because I remember, like, in fact, when we had Sal on in pregame and we were talking about the fantasy segment, like, who's a guy that's going to...
I think they know about
Devin Singletary.
I think they know about him.
But wouldn't they know about the two veteran running backs, too?
Yeah, but I think they wanted to get him a little work.
I don't know, man. I think that they are hoping that somebody's going to step forward and give them a good offer for one of them.
I don't think anyone's going to do that.
McCoy looked like he had some juice left.
It did.
Why would anybody
pay him the money that he's making?
For one season, if you've got the cap space and you think you're ready to make
a push? If you're ready to make a push, how much cap space do you have and how much are you willing to give to a running back?
Well, there are teams out there like Tampa Bay that I think are ready to win right now because they signed a veteran coach. They have a quarterback on an expiring contract. They don't have a running back. And I think what I saw again tonight is that their two running backs, again, did not play very well. Peyton Barber and Ronald Jones are just not good.
And Ronald Jones continues
to make total sense for
me. I saw a tweet from Evan Silva talking about Ronald Jones and his just inability to overtake Peyton Barber, which is an issue.
Right.
I mean, that's an issue for them. For sure. I mean, that's a team I'd look at.
Maybe that's the only team to seriously look at, but if I'm the Bills and I'm looking at what they've got going on, and again, I don't think they're completely rebuilding. I don't think you signed Bruce Arians to be your head coach if
you're
rebuilding.
What about Jacksonville?
With Fournette? See, I think they should do something like that, but I don't know if they will. I think they're pretty sold.
You know what? They're also pretty tight.
Maybe Oakland would have been a team, but I think we're kind of past that with them because they wanted a veteran back to go with Josh Jacobs when
Pittsburgh,
they Carrell.
But here's the thing: I think if you're
it's
the
hard
Bills
to find
too,
another spot other than Tampa. For me.
And not only that, I don't know that I'm trying to trade LeSean McCoy to an AFC team. I don't think they're going to trade LeSean McCoy. I don't think they're going to trade Frank Gore. I think they're going to go into the season with four running backs. I think that it's going to look a lot like this. It's going to be LeSean McCoy who's going to take.
But why only the one snap with the one carry for Singletary? To me, that part of it does not make sense. That has to mean something. And maybe to me it would be he's the only running back on the team that is completely safe.
I agree with that. But that's completely safe. I just don't think
and
there's a legitimate concern that LeSean McCoy doesn't make the game day
roster.
For
me, part of this is all, and I have to think that they're having a similar conversation in-house. They might not think the same way I think about it, but they might at least have the conversation, is how many skilled position guys are they really going to keep? Because you mentioned at the top of the postgame show, hey, it's hard to cut one of these guys off. It'd be nice to keep seven of these receivers because you might have seven legitimately good ones.
Yeah.
And if you want to do that, maybe you might want to do that. And if you want to keep four tight ends, because that's realistic too. Croft is under contract. Knox is a rookie. Sweeney's look good. And Lee Smith is due guaranteed money. So that's four tight ends. You got a fullback. How many skilled position guys you're going to ultimately keep, especially when even Yeldon looked good tonight catching the ball.
There are a lot of people that say, well, Lee Smith is the obvious cut. And I would tell you, you're crazy if you think Lee Smith.
He's owed guaranteed money. I would cut him, but I don't know. I don't think they're going
I wouldn't.
To.
He's your best blocking tight end.
But Sweeney has looked pretty well.
But
pretty
he,
good in
they, neither of them, none of the other three guys. I think here's
that's
the thing.
True.
Here's
that's
the
why
thing.
Kroom is definitely
Jason Kroom's
out,
done. Jason Kroom's
yeah,
done.
Out.
That's I think
almost
that's
for
out.
Sure. Yeah, that he's the fifth right now. But who do you cut it to? You think if Salif Smith is safe, you think they're keeping four tight ends?
That's
and
tough.
If you're keeping six receivers,
think,
how many running backs do they really
I
keep?
I think they'll keep three tight ends, and I think that they'll try to sneak Tommy Sweeney into the practice Ooh. Squad. I think that's what they'll try to do.
It's tough for me to see that happening when he's basically been their starting
I get
tight
it.
End through camp.
I get it, but I don't know. But
maybe this happens. Maybe Croft goes on the PUP.
If you look, he's listed as the fourth and fifth tight end on the
That's true.
Official roster.
Well, maybe what ends up happening is Croft goes on the pup list to start the season, and they just keep those three, and they
could
figure
be possible.
It out later.
I did see a video of Tyler Croft sprinting after the game on the field. 100-yard sprints.
Okay.
I don't know what that means.
But I don't know what that means.
I saw the video.
So if you had to guess today, how many running backs are they keeping?
Four. Yeldon's the fourth.
So you think they don't keep a guy that plays special teams?
No. I think
I would do that. I like that. I just don't. It's hard for me to buy that happening when two seasons in, they've always had a running back that plays a majority of special team snaps. That doesn't have to be the case.
See, that's why I think that's the difference between a Captain Munnerlyn and a Ciaran Neal. You're going to keep Ciaran Neal because Ciaran Neal plays almost exclusive special teams, right? You might keep a Deion Lacy because Deion Lacy is a really good special teams player. You're probably only going to keep Andre Roberts for his
return ability.
I mean, he's going to play some receiver, but I think what we're seeing is Isaiah McKenzie. I don't want to. I think on the depth chart, if you're going to look at a game day, Isaiah McKenzie might be in front of Andre Roberts in terms of offensive touches.
I think he should be.
I think he should be too. We haven't seen a lot of Andre Roberts yet in terms of game situation, and he looked really good in training camp. Really good. He looked like he had a good rapport
first team snaps.
With Josh. He was, but I do think that if I'm like in a pegging order, it's probably got to be Isaiah McKenzie over.
See, that's part of the reason why I didn't like the signing in the first place. I think McKenzie's legitimately good. I liked what he put on tape.
I don't like him as a returner.
You don't like him as a returner at all?
He fumbled one today. Well, he bobbled it.
Well, let me ask
Andre Roberts is a Pro Bowl kick returner, and you never have to worry about when it's up in the air and your heels are on your 10-yard line that the guy's going to bobble it or make a bad decision.
But at the end of the day, I think that's all I want him doing.
Yeah,
and maybe if it doesn't end up being McKenzie, maybe Roberts can be fine to suffice this role for a short amount of time. But I think ultimately where a point I want to get to is I'm going to have a guy that's a returner and does something else. I think the days should be over of you having a strict returner. You should be looking for a guy that's versatile enough to do more than just that, and I don't really see that out of Roberts on a full.
Well, I mean, that's why
basis.
The Jets moved on. I mean, the Jets brought in a lot more versatility at the wide receiver position. They moved on from a Pro Bowl kick returner. They moved on from two Pro Bowl special teamers, and I think both are probably going to hurt them though. That's going to do it here for us at on the post game show. Nate Geary, Joe DiBiase. I will be back first thing in the morning. I will be back here 11 to 2 locally. WGR Sports Radio 550 for Sports Talk Saturday. I'll have some good guests with me recapping this Bills 24-20 victory over the Detroit Lions. So you can catch me there tomorrow. So Nate Geary, Joe DiBiase, and Derek Kramer. This has been another episode of the Bills Post Game Show on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.